We're here to hear God's word, be challenged by God's word, be encouraged by God's word, to be taught by God's word this morning. Not because of me, but because of God's word. A Sunday school teacher had just concluded her lesson and wanted to make sure she had made her point. She said, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin?" There was a short pause, and then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up. "Sin," he said. I think she said, "Well, yes, but." We read in Ephesians 4, verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Forgiveness. You may remember Shirley Pye came back in August and shared about the book she had written called From Sinking Sand to Solid Rock. And specifically, she spoke about forgiveness, but also about unforgiveness, which she had struggled with for about 25 years after her son Jared was killed. I want us to spend a bit of time this morning thinking about the power of forgiveness. But let's pray as we do that this morning. Father, as we do come, Father, as we think about forgiveness, as we think about the forgiveness that you gave us, we think about as we forgive others, but we think about some of us get trapped in unforgiveness. Please, Lord, from your word this morning, teach us, lead us and guide us, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The doctrine of forgiveness is perhaps the most important and crucial one as far as Bible-believing Christians are concerned. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, humanity has struggled with their relationship with the Creator. See, humanity is created in the image of God to worship Him, adore, and have fellowship and communion with Him. When this doesn't happen, there's something missing in our being. It's almost like a hole. Humanity has reversed what was designed at the beginning. Many humans are attempting to exist without God. A focus on self and the want to control everything. Have all the answers and not rely on and acknowledge the Lord God. And that is sin. Others have tried to restore the relationship with God through doing good things, through works. And that of also upholding the law. But that failed, and the Old Testament reveals, and I've been reading through the book of 2 Kings at the moment, and I think I'm almost over 2 Kings. I want to get onto something good. Fortunately, I'm reading a New Testament as well as an Old Testament, so it's not quite as bad. But Israel struggled with this, trying to keep the law. Hopeless attempts. But it was out of God's love, His grace and His mercy that God provided a way back to fellowship with Himself. He provided a way of forgiving us for our sins, a focus on ourselves. And that is by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For He," that's God, "made Him," Jesus Christ, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Not from our doing, but because of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called grace, the unmerited favour of God. The New Testament teaches that for us to receive this forgiveness of sin, ignoring God, repentance and belief or faith is needed. Paul speaks of this in Acts 20, verse 21. "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance is basically, it means turning one way. We've been travelling our own way, doing our own things, and suddenly we've gone, "Hang on, this is not how it should be. This is not how it should be." Repentance is turning the other way and going towards God. We naturally go away from God. Repentance is turning. 180 degrees and going, hang on, please Heavenly Father, please forgive me. And faith and belief is going, yeah, I acknowledge now that I'm a sinful person. I have sinned. And now I recognize that I can't do it myself. And you've sent Jesus Christ, and he has come as a sinless man, and he's died upon the cross for me. Thank you very much. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that he died for me. Repentance and belief and faith. And failure to understand this basic doctrine of Christianity has called countless people, including Christians, to experience unhealthy guilt feelings that lead to worry, depression, loss of inner peace, fear, as Daryl spoke about last Sunday, low self-esteem, loneliness, and a sense of alienation from God. People often want to do something else, some good deed, some form of penance, and that's when the focus goes off the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done and accomplished and back to us and what we must try to and earn forgiveness. And often the extension of that is, I need to earn salvation. Can't earn salvation. It's grace. It's a gift from God. It's only as we turn back to Calvary, identify ourselves with Christ, that we understand forgiveness. Graham Cann, one of my lecturers at BCV, gave a definition of forgiveness as, when God forgives us, he sets us free from the obligation to suffer for our sin against him and restores the relationship which was lost through our sinfulness. Tim, can you flick that back for me one? Another one? Back one more. Thank you. Further to God's forgiveness for sin, his provision of ongoing forgiveness for sinful acts. Some ask, can Christians sin? Do we do things wrong? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. I'm just listening for any no's. Yes, he's out there. Yes, and in John's epistle, his first letter, we find John writing to Christians. And we find in 1 John chapter verses 5 to 2:2. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thanks, Tim. Next one. Thanks. Yeah. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Verse 7 said, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, debts, wrong, past, present. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, basically he says we're liars. Verse 9, we confess our sin. God is faithful to forgive us. Chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus is the advocate, the mediator, the propitiation for our sin. And many Christians fall into the trap of not accepting sinful acts carried out and doing something about them. Whenever there's a debt, a wrong, our conscience is troubled, and faith is unable to rise up. You see, conscience cannot afford a leak. Thanks, Tim. First Timothy, verse 1, 9a. having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who are delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Conscience can be likened to a boat which cannot suffer a leak. If there's a leak in conscience, faith is lost and guilt takes hold. Whenever there is a grievance, a hole is created, and the first to leak out will be our faith. For this reason, we must keep a conscience clear of offence. We need to ask God to forgive us our debts. And not just reciting that Lord's Prayer that we may recite it over and over. Keep in mind, that's a pattern for prayer. It's not a prayer that we pray. We've got to actually name what's wrong. Not just praying, please forgive me again. Practice something like, Father, today I lost my cool. I use language which I'm not proud of. Please forgive me. Or maybe, Father, when using my computer today, I looked at information which I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. We need to actually name what they are and ask forgiveness for that itself. If you don't do it, guilt gets a hold and faith is weakened. Satan starts to accuse. You call yourself a Christian? How can you be a Christian and do that? Have you heard that before? Been thinking about it before? That's how faith leaks out. We need to be serious and say, God, please forgive me. Even if it is, please forgive me again and again and again. It's naming it and going, please forgive. And he does. That's the great thing. Guilt is mean and knows no end to its torture and destruction. Many suffer in hospitals from the agony of guilt. Some psychological and emotional disorders grow in a heart that has been planted with the seeds of guilt. We need to be continually seeking forgiveness from God, clearing our conscience, removing the guilt. Thanks, Tim. A 12-year-old boy accidentally killed one of his family's geese by throwing a stone. Figuring his parents wouldn't notice one of the 24 gone, he buried it. His sister saw his crime and said, I saw what you did. If you don't wash the dishes for me, I'm going to tell Mum. The boy did the dishes for days. One day the boy said, you do them. His sister said, I'll tell Mum. The boy replied, I've already told her and she forgave me. I'm free again. Thanks, Tim. But then we are reminded in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Thanks, Tim. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. As human character is concerned, forgiveness is an unnatural doctrine. Normal human character is not to forgive when something is done against us. Often our natural sense is to seek justice. Someone has to pay for the wrong. This sometimes also includes revenge. Thanks, Tim. Have you ever been in a shopping centre car park, sitting in your car when a person comes up to the car next to you with a shopping trolley? Your car is reasonably new, cared for, and theirs looks like something which came straight out of a car rally. As they go to put the shopping in their car, they let their trolley go and it hits your door with a loud thump. You get out to remonstrate with the other person, who apologises, which you begrudgingly accept. Every time you see that dent, when you wash the car, your focus goes back to that car park. Or perhaps more seriously, you were beaten badly when you were younger. Your dad was under pressure, occasionally getting drunk, and came home and hit you. And every time you think of him, anger rises up, inside. Or maybe something your mother, brother, sister, or another relative did. Forgiveness is often difficult for us as it pulls against our concept for justice. We want revenge for offences suffered. But God reminds us in Romans 12 that we are never to take our own revenge. Verse 19 of chapter 12, revenge is the Lord's. But why should I let them off my hook, we protest. You let them off the hook, but they are never off of God's hook. He will deal with them fairly and justly, something which often we can't do. This doesn't mean that we tolerate sin. Tolerating sin makes a mockery of forgiveness. We must always take a stand against sin, and crime needs to be paid for, sometimes including a jail sentence. But don't get me wrong, forgiveness doesn't automatically mean forgetting. We may not forget, but the pain diminishes over time. People who try to forget usually find they cannot. The author of the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 17 says, He, that's God, will remember our sins no more. Now, I always wondered about that one. Does that mean that we have a forgetful God? What of his omniscience, all-knowing? What it means is that God chooses not to hold that against us anymore. Forgetting may and will be the result of forgiveness, but it's never the means of forgiveness. When we continually bring up the past against others, we've not forgiven them. Thanks, Tim. But there's a further side to forgiveness. You see, if you don't let offenders off your hook, if you don't forgive them, you are hooked to them and the past. And that just means continued pain for you. You need to stop the pain, let it go. You don't forgive someone merely for their sake. You do it for your sake as well. So you can be free and move on. That's what Shirley Pye spoke about and wrote in her book in relation to eventually forgiving the man who shot and killed her son. Thanks, Tim. I went to a Hillsong conference a number of years ago in Sydney. At one of the sessions, a speaker shared about forgiveness. He shared a true story about a young man who was a Christian who came from a non-Christian home. His dad had not been a good dad and had beaten his son many times when he was young. The young man tried not to hold any grudges against his dad and had been zealous over a number of years trying to share the gospel message, but to no prevail. One day he was confronted with the whole issue of forgiveness. The young man spent a time kneeling before the Lord, forgiving his dad for the things he had done to him. Then he took a further step. He rang his dad and spoke to him and said he'd forgiven him. And then he asked his dad to forgive him for all the things he had done when he was a child, not obeying his parents. At that point, the dad broke down in tears on the phone, and 24 hours later, he surrendered his life to the Lord and asked forgiveness of his son. Forgiveness is powerful and life renewing and the way to experience reconciliation. You know, Satan revels when he knows he has one of his saints trapped in the issue of unforgiveness. Paul talks about this, and Tim, if you can put up 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 and 11 for me. I've forgiven that one for your sake, in the presence of Christ, in order that Satan might not outwit us, but we are not unaware of his schemes. You see, We can be held in the bondage to non-forgiveness for those things, issues done to us in the past. Perhaps it was a family situation, a rape, adultery, divorce, beatings, perhaps a business issue, perhaps an accident. How do we forgive? True forgiveness comes from the heart. Thanks, Tim. You need to acknowledge the hurt, the person, and the hate. You need to acknowledge what it is. Often as you do that, you may find that the Lord will bring up other things also in other people's names. You need to name that person or persons or situation. In one sense, you need to face the cross. It makes forgiveness legally and morally right. You see, God has already provided the way for forgiveness for them, and you can too. You need to decide then that you will not bear the burden of their offence by bringing it up again in the future. And make steps, if possible, to seek reconciliation. If it's safe to do, and it not always is. When I often lead a Thanksgiving service to celebrate the person's life, I usually have a quiet spot in my pastoral prayer for forgiveness. Because you can be hooked to a person who is no longer with us, but you can still find forgiveness. But don't wait to forgive until you feel like forgiving. You most probably never will. Sure, feelings take time to heal after forgiveness is carried out. But as Ephesians 4:27 says, reminds us, Satan will lose his foothold on you. Thanks, Tim. Little boy was sitting on a park bench in obvious pain. A man walking by asked him what was wrong. The young boy said, "I'm sitting on a bumblebee." The man urgently asked, "Then why don't you get up?" The boy replied, "Because I figure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me." The question is, how many of us handle forgiveness like this little boy? We endure the pain for the sadistic satisfaction of believing we are hurting our offender more than they are hurting us. When we get off the bench of unforgiveness, both parties can begin to realise the relief from their pain. When we forgive, we set ourselves free from the obligation to suffer. And reconciliation can only begin after forgiveness has taken place. While unforgiveness is still there, true reconciliation is not possible. It was only after God had dealt with our sin by the blood of his Son at Calvary that reconciliation was and is possible. Thanks, Tim. And we find in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, not works, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace. That's how we can return to God in a peaceful relationship. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, which God put in place in the first place. That's how it comes. Thanks, Tim. I suppose the question often asked, does an issue keep on coming up and tormenting you? Are you finding it hard to forgive someone or some people over an incident in the past? Maybe that person is no longer with us, perhaps they've died. Do you need to be released from an issue of unforgiveness? Until you forgive and seek forgiveness, your walk with the Lord is hindered and your maturing in Christian faith is stunted and any attempts at reconciliation will be severely hindered. God tells us we must forgive others as he forgave us. This is not just some nice idea. The Heavenly Father knows that unforgiveness will hold us in bondage and cause ongoing bitterness. Now, I know this topic is a major issue, and for many it may have hit you a bit hard this morning. And I sort of understand, but I don't. But God does understand. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to commence that healing process this morning if you'd like to. In a moment, I'm going to ask Margaret to play through the chorus, God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I want you to take the opportunity to be quiet before God. Perhaps you need this morning to ask forgiveness for something done or said. Perhaps you need to forgive someone else. Is there bitterness in your heart against someone? Take the time to talk to God about it. Then do something about it. So as Margaret just plays quietly, God forgave my... I'm just going to encourage you. If something's been said this morning and God is speaking to you and saying, hang on, you need to do something about it, I just want you to just quietly in your space now. Let's just bow our heads and let God minister. And if you need to ask forgiveness for what you've done, of what someone has done to you, can I encourage you just to start that process this morning? I want to invite you, if God's Spirit has been speaking to you this morning, to come and see me or one of the other pastors, one of the elders, after the service. We'd love to pray with and for you, and if appropriate, set up a time to meet with you. I love that song, God Forgave My Sin in Jesus' Name, and I'm going to invite the singers and the other musos to come forward as we go into a time of communion, the Lord's Supper. As we think about forgiveness and what God has done, these are symbols to remind us again what God has done for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to sing first this great song, God Forgave My Sin in Jesus' Name. Let's stand up and sing this great song together. Thanks, Tim. Just prop that first one for us. There was two, I'm quite certain, any passages which you got out of the message, but two passages came out especially for me, and Tim's going to put them up on there this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was all of God, not of us. We've always got to keep that in mind. This is what this is about. It's continually reminding us it's not about you. It's about what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread, a symbol of Christ's body, beaten, whipped for us. The juice, a symbol of Christ's blood, made him as he came perfect and then gave his life. And as we think about, so what's that mean for us? Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, yes, there's a bit which we've got to do. We've got to believe it. By our faith, we have now peace with the God of all creation. That's incredible. Have you ever thought about that? You're on his side. He's on your side. You are his children. Much loved forever. Peace with him. But again, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about you. About what he's done for us. As we come this morning, in a few minutes, I'm going to invite the elders will come forward. As we're going to, I'm going to invite you to come forward. If there's someone near you who you know can't, will walk up here, please take some. There's some special ones here that they can have. Whoop. Gordon just poured the whole thing over just before. That's okay. It wasn't me. but if someone else, if you know there's someone who will find it hard, please, please come and take one for them as well. Okay? What I want you to do, if it is possible, I'd like you to come down around the outsides and then come up at the middle there especially. And this table is an open table. It's open to any who love and know that what God has done for them through Jesus Christ. Can we read those two verses out, you reckon, as we do it? Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the elders to come forward now as they're ready to prepare. So as they come forward, as soon as they've finished, the musicians will play. We encourage you to come down the outsides and then up the middle. Take a bit of bread and a juice as well. And then please hold them and we will have them afterwards. Let me just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for us, not what we can do for ourselves. You have, by your grace and your mercy, have given of yourself in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give his life to pay the penalty for our sin. Thank you. Thank you because that we have believed, because of what you have done, we now have peace with you. Please, Father, as we come this morning to take these elements again, please remind us of that, we ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please come and join us now. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, for I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. This has been passed down over centuries and continues to. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can we give thanks the same as what Jesus did on that night? Father, thank you for the symbol of the bread, a symbol of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, willingly gave his life for us so that we could have peace with you. Father, as we take this bread this morning, remind us again of all that Jesus did for us, we ask in his name. Amen. Let's eat together as one. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's give thanks for the cup. Father, symbols are important for you, and you give them to us. The symbol of this juice reminds us not that it's just a nice sweet flavour, but it reminds us that a life was given and has paid the penalty for my sin. Father, again, as we come this morning to remind ourselves of your grace and mercy, please continue to remind us that you continue to journey with us. Even though life is not easy, Lord, and we've thought about it this morning, but Father, you are there for us, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together until the Lord comes again. But often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to sing a great song. Amazing Grace. My chains are gone because of what God has done for us. And as we thought about just for forgiveness this morning, the opportunity to be able to, that journey perhaps to commence for some of us. And I know that journey is not going to be easy for some. But it's a journey that God says, I'll be with you on that one. And can I encourage you, if you need help with that, please come and see myself or one of the elders, and we will journey with you as well. But let's sing this, stand up and sing this great song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. I'm going to, it's a benediction, I'm going to read from that part in Ephesians 4 again, a couple of verses. Then I want us at the end, I want us to sing that chorus again, My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free. Are your chains gone? Are you free? Sure? Sometimes it's hard. Let me just read from Ephesians 4, then it's raise our voices with My Chains Are Gone. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. My chains are gone. The people said, Amen. Amen.